Well, I want to begin with two questions, and they're not really hard, but you can make them hard if you wanted to. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Could be an easy one, right? Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask the historian, he will tell you, well, it commemorates the birth of Jesus, who was a real historical figure of some renown, and this celebration has been going on for the last several years, going back to about the 4th century. Really wasn't celebrated before that, so it was a later event. The secularist would celebrate it as winter solstice, as the beginning of the return of more daylight and the anticipation of spring and other aspects of the season, you know, like Santa Claus and all that stuff. We just need to celebrate something this time of year because it's dark and dreary. Well, actually, this time it's actually not been too bad, but it can be. It was originally initiated by joining pagan celebration, the birth of Mithra, with the celebrating of the birth of Christ. They figured, hey, they're already celebrating, let's just put the birth of Christ there, we'll replace that, and, you know, it sounds like a good idea, right? Well, it was a deliberate Christianizing of paganism. So that's the secular aspect of trying to put all that together. Now, if you ask the economist, the economist will tell you, well, it's all about economic gain and basically survival. There are a lot of places that survive because of Christmas. Their businesses make it then. It's a reason to buy and to give and to receive gifts. And, of course, Santa Claus comes into play there, too, because that's what it's all about. But then there's the theologian. He recognizes the incarnation. John 1 comes to mind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Well, that's the first critical step in the whole process of salvation. So it's really quite significant. I mean, it relates to redemption, reconciliation, all of the theological stuff that's involved with it. But then let's refine the question just a little bit. Why do we celebrate Christmas as we do? Now, that's an interesting thought. Well, it varies from person to person. It varies from family to family. It varies from culture to culture. I mean, Christmas was not celebrated for many, many years, and it was even outlawed for a time, and there are still those who refuse to celebrate it for various reasons. A large part of the celebration of Christmas, as we do today, has to do with our memories, things that we've grown up with, the associations we have, previous experiences. Pleasant memories are the biggest reason. And some will not celebrate it for the same reason, because of maybe negative memories that are associated with it. But generally, it's the positive things that stand out. So, and as time passes, the generations continue to heap more traditions, and there are more options of how to celebrate it. And when you look throughout history, you see the different layers that have been added on, depending on if you're looking at Scandinavia, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, all of those areas, and then as it kind of moved across to the continent of North America and South America, all the different areas affected. It's interesting to think of it. There have been many writers and illustrators and movies that have added to it more in our time. I mean, you look back to the 4th century, there was the historical character of St. Nicholas that had a part in this. There was the Dutch contribution of Sinterklaas. There was the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas that became popularized through the New Yorker magazine. And we tend to build on to our traditions by making memories and then multiplying the memories by building families who multiply it more. So you have a husband and a wife, both coming from different backgrounds, and they have their memories that they bring in, and they They may incorporate some of those. They may come up with their own, and on it goes. So memory has a lot to do with it. So let's just think about the incredible importance of memory. This has been made more evident, the whole issue of importance of memory, with the advent of the computer. I mean, you never have enough memory. Always running out. The cell phones and all that. We're obsessed with more memory. But of course, you have to pay for it the more you get. And we normally take memory for granted. And we don't think about it that much until we have a problem with it. And you go, I don't remember. It's got to be up there somewhere. Our memories may be impaired, they may be faulty, they may even in some cases be fabulous. Memory is just assumed in the natural course of life. The Bible assumes it as well, and not infrequently alludes to it and encourages it. Passage we've heard from Luke 2:19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She remembered, she analyzed, she evaluated. This may be noteworthy as it relates to our own experiences regarding the birth of Christ. What things do we celebrate? What things do we do? What are part of our celebratory experiences and all of that? There are so many memories associated with this season, and maybe sometimes we think, well, which are legitimate? Which are the ones that we want to continue to do? Maybe some we don't want to do. How do you come away without too much focus on the secularizing of it? Can we enjoy the season with all of its frills? Must we only focus on the theological significance? What should we do? Does that thought ever come to your mind? Well, let's just take a moment and understand the nature of memory. There is a storage factor. It's a recording of life experiences. The most profound thing in the world is your brain. It's composed of over 100 billion neurons. Makes you dizzy just thinking about it, doesn't it? It composes 2% of your body mass, but it uses 20% of your energy. At least it should. I'm not sure everybody maybe works that hard at it, but it's supposed to. It has the consistency of butter at room temperature and should be smooth as a billiard ball. Now, those are some pictures that you may not have associated with your brain. But anyway, that's what I read. There are more neurological connections in your brain than there are stars in the entire universe. Your brain makes about 5 trillion decisions per second. So most of the decisions that you make are on an unconscious level. No wonder we get headaches. There are over 50 neurological transmitters with various combinations and permutations. A thought is a result of neurons firing together, involves being wired together via neurotransmitters. And there are neurological patterns established in the brain that are essentially echoes from the past. So a memory is basically a stored thought. Thoughts and memories are not all that simple. And it's amazing that I can think or remember anything. I try to remind myself of that when I can't think of something. It's like, wow, you think of a few things, that's probably pretty good. I think the same thing about computers. When they act up, it's like, I'm amazed they work at all. I mean, when you think about it, it's just crazy. So some things, if I remember to push the button, some things are more noteworthy than others. Think about Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you will answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of God forever. What were they saying? What were those stones saying? It is, look what God did. He provided. I think that's a good thing to keep in mind when it comes to celebrating something like Christmas or Easter. It should bring us to the place of having this memorial aspect of, look what God did. That's what it really comes down to. These were memorialized for future learning, for passing it on, so that we don't forget some of the important things of life. Now, you may be interested to know that celebrating Christmas is not commanded in Scripture. It's not even necessary to celebrate it. Technically. And so there's a sense in which we can celebrate any way we want to, because it doesn't tell us. You have to do it this way. You can't do it that way. Don't do this. Do that. There are no specific biblical parameters on how to celebrate Christmas. But we do keep in mind, what is the value? And when you think about the idea of setting up the stones, there's something of value. So that some of the things that we do in terms of celebrating Christmas might be helpful if we see the bigger picture, the perspective, the insight that's gained from it. Some things make deep etches in our memories. And there are good things like Christmas celebrations, and there can be negative things. So it's helpful for us to try to, you know, emphasize the positive things that we would want to memorialize, and the way we celebrate Christmas might be a part of that. And then there are some things that are just part of the culture that we may find some value in that relate to life in general, and we can enjoy those things. So there is the storage factor, but there's also a retrieval factor. Finding and using data. We have different levels of memory capacity. Remember Stephen Hawking, I think it was the way it's pronounced. He had a phenomenal memory. He also had some severe physical problems, but still managed to pull through. Most of us have average memories, like you and me. And then there are some that have terrible memories. And if you are one of them, I am counting on you not remembering that I said this. We do have the ability to develop our memories. There are many programs that can help us, like Awana, for instance, that we use, Bible Memory Association. There are lots of different things. It's like learning a language. The more you use it, the more you're able to have facility with it. So if you don't use it, you lose it. We do have the potential of losing our memories. It can come from a lack of use. It can come from normal degeneration. We call it getting old. We can relate to that. It can come from debilitating disease like Alzheimer's and dementia and all of that, which is all too familiar with us. It's not a matter of lacking data. It's there. It's a matter of retrieval. It's finding the right file in the pile. And sometimes our memories are just not pulling up what we want, or we can't get it when we want it, and eventually we find it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then we go, oh, now I remember, but it would have been really handy to have known that, 6 hours ago. So why do we celebrate Christmas? So we don't forget the significance of it, so we can pass it along to our children, our children's children's children, and all of that. But there's also an analysis factor, interpreting data and experience. We have a need to compare multiple experiences, and you have to have memories in order to go back to have something to compare to of what's going on now. And unfortunately, history is a recording of memories of everything that's happened in the past, and too many people today don't want anything to do with history. And they end up repeating all the stupid things that have been done that shouldn't have been done in the first place. We should learn from them. But we need to have this analysis in order to make sense of life, to see the bigger picture, to have things put in context. Because if you just have an isolated event and there's no context, what good does it do? There's nowhere to put it. So we need that. That's why we have to have memories, to be able to tie things together. So memory is kind of an important thing. So we have a need to compare multiple experiences or data. We have a need to process information and experience. The data and the experience is useless without a context. If I just throw out the word spaghetti, what would you do with that? Well, you'd be thinking, okay, yeah, it's not too long from time to eat. Yeah, food, that sounds good. What about it? You know, when was it invented? What's it made of? How do you make it? How long does it last? I mean, give me some context. What do you do with it? So it really is important. So we need our memories to be able to put things together. That's part of why we celebrate Christmas and Easter and other events along the way, because it gives us some context, and that's kind of important. So there's a danger in not analyzing and not remembering or not learning from the past. So we need to be able to put those things into perspective so that we can interpret life, we can interpret history, and we can recognize what we ought to do in light of what has taken place in the past and what is the right thing to do in the context today, given what we understand from the past and anticipate for the future. So consider the call to remember. We may call on others to remember. And there are many things that we could call on. I'm going to zip through this just a little bit quicker. For collaboration of effort, to help me remember my appointment or something. For perspective, remember the Alamo, for instance. Those are things that give you some perspective. For nostalgia or for enjoyment. For provision, remember me, O God, for good, Nehemiah 5:19. For prayer, remember my chains, Paul asked in Colossians 4:18, he's calling on others. Asking God, Psalm 25:6, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. See how memory is really an important part of things? You may be called on to remember. By others, for instance, someone may say, would you pick up some milk on the way home? Would you remember to do that? Remember to bring a jacket because it's cold out? By God's spokesman, Deuteronomy 5:15, for instance, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Why? Because look what God did. Again, it's look what God did. Deuteronomy 9:7. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. Behave yourself, in other words. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, even when you are old. Then there's some official capacity. In a courtroom, you might be asked to remember something. In class, at work. There's a need to review, to study, and all of that. There's a need to remember. Recognize the reason to remember. And for this, we're going to look at Luke 2:17-20. The little phrase, the reason for the season kind of thing. That may come to mind. This passage was read earlier. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. So, just a few things to note here. We celebrate because of the content of memories. There are recorded observations. Had seen, the things they had seen. There was an event of significance that had historical value. It was verified by the reference to it. There was practical communication. They made known these things. It was a message of significance. So it was an event. It was a message that was communicated because of what had taken place. There were significant implications. It had to do with this child. This child had a particular place in God's plan, his timing, and the salvation of people, which would have significance not just in the past as a prediction, but also for the present, but also in the future for what is going to take place in due time as well. So his coming was anticipated. There was a distinct purpose, and there is content, and you need to have some memory in order to put that together, and this is what is pointed out here. There is context that is identified concerning this child. We celebrate because of the power of memory. Memories reproduce thought, as told by the shepherds. That was something that took place. It was remembered. Memories stimulate a response. People marveled that heard about it. Memories store information. This was kept by Mary. Memories help process information. She pondered it. See, all of that is part of the picture. So we need to recognize that the power of memory for good. We celebrate because of the value of memory. It helps to direct praise to God because we've gotten some perspective. You know, the stones that were put out beside the Jordan. Look what God did. He got the people across the Jordan on dry ground. It helps to recall and process the significance of something. That's what was going on in this text that we just looked at. It helps to respond personally or corporately, whether as an individual or as a group. Do we appreciate the value of memory? Well, we usually do when we can't think of something. It's like, oh, if I could only remember, if this memory was just working. Well, it's not so much whether it's there, it's whether you can retrieve it, whether you can connect with it. So every day we are making memories. It's part of life. Every day we are building on memories. It's a cumulative thing. Which is part of the reason as we get older, you think about the quantity of files that are up here that we've got to go back to retrieve. It's not surprising that we have a challenge with that. So there's, you know, two solutions. One is we can work at trying to remember, and the other is to not do anything anymore so that we're not making more memories to add to the pile. But I don't necessarily recommend that. So, what kind of memories are we making? What are we celebrating? And we can ask ourselves, is it edifying? Is it valuable? Is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it insightful? There are some things that we do just for fun, and that's okay. It's just a matter of, can we keep it all in perspective? So, if you think about it, the celebration of Christmas is rather complicated. With all of the elements that are involved, it's much more than just cultural, and it's more than just fun. There's the historical, the theological, you know, all of that. So we want to capitalize on the most important aspect, the incarnation of Christ. John 1:14, the Word became flesh, and build memories accordingly. But we can enjoy the other things, and you can decide which things you want to enjoy. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, are we still able to come to the place where we say, look what God did. He sent his son into this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's wrapped up in this message as well.